5 minutes after the hour, welcome into the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. I am Tanner Schwint, filling in for Brady Hull, who is on remote, on location, I should say, down in Wiggins, Colorado, for the Reisner, the Dalton Reisner camp. We should be talking with Dalton Reisner coming up in about 15 minutes or so ahead of that next camp session that's going on down there. Some of those high school kids going to get a chance to talk with Dalton and pick his brain a little bit. And you love doing that. It's unique that you got a Colorado guy that's able to go back to his hometown and do that. Joining me now up on the hotline, it is Zach Stevens with DNVR covering the Denver Broncos. Zach, how are you today, my friend?
Tanner, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on here. I'll do my best Brady Hull impression today for you, okay?
Let's do it.
All right, man. Well, hey, I want to start first, with some off the field news that I saw you were tweeting and talking about earlier today. You've seen with these a lot of these sports figures that are talking about the vaccine and getting the vaccine. You know, I kind of always wondered, what is the rest of the team doing, and what percent of these teams and of these organizations are getting the vaccine? You're reporting that the Broncos are nearing 100% vaccination. Is that right?
Yeah, they're above 95% as a team right now, which is just huge. Because those guys will be fully vaccinated by the time training camp rolls around. So really, I mean, the threshold that that teams need in order to have relaxed restrictions around the building is 85%, and the Broncos will have cleared that easily by the time training camp rolls around. Some other teams, it's going to put a burden on, and for individual players that don't get the vaccine, it's going to put a burden on as well, and maybe once training camp comes around for the few holdouts that are there with the Broncos, maybe that will force them to do it. But this could just be a big advantage for the Broncos from other teams. If other teams really don't hit that 85% threshold by the time training camp and the season roll around.
So why are the Broncos so far ahead of the curve?
They've done a great job just educating their players about it. And then also they held an event a couple of months ago to vaccinate people inside their own building. So I know that a lot of employees within the building got it. A couple of Broncos players went there, and the team's just done a really good job letting them know, okay, look, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. You don't have to social distance. Here are all the benefits that you get. And the NFL is making it so there are so many benefits to getting the vaccine when you're in the building. Even when you're outside of the building, players who aren't vaccinated are not allowed to gather in groups of three or bigger outside of the facility if they're not vaccinated. If they are vaccinated, they can hang out with their friends.
Yeah, and it's something that it's an interesting watch as this goes along, right? Because we're seeing this conversation happen outside of professional sports, talking about the vaccine and people making the decision to get vaccinated or not to get vaccinated. But it opens up a whole new can of worms when you talk about people who are getting paid that much money, who are at the highest level of their profession. And, you know, there hasn't been many people who have come out and said that they're not going to get it. You know, Cole Beasley, obviously, was the one standalone that said, I'm not getting it. And, I mean, that's a personal choice. But like you said, I think it does help quite a bit, the fact that, the Broncos are going to have those, that advantage of having everybody vaccinated.
Yeah, exactly. And we won't know exactly who is and who isn't vaccinated unless the players come out and tell us if they're vaccinated or not. But with the way protocols are, if a vaccinated person and player is exposed to someone with COVID, well, they don't have to sit out. They don't have to be away from the facility for 14, 10 days like that. If an unvaccinated person is exposed to that, then they will have to be out. So we will find out, not just with the Broncos, but around the NFL, who is and who isn't vaccinated throughout the season. You just hope that, this can be a 2020 thing, not a 2021 thing, and that's what the vaccine helps with, and that's what the NFL is really, really trying to get across and really making a huge difference for players that are and aren't vaccinated.
Yeah, it really is. And it's been, I don't know, it's just been fascinating. But enough of that, Zach. Let's talk some actual football here. We're sitting here on July 12th. I was just saying, in any way, shape, or form, you cut this quarterback battle with the state of the Denver Broncos without having their quarterback right now. It's not an ideal position.
Yeah, it's not an ideal position not knowing who your quarterback's going to be. I mean, even putting Aaron Rodgers aside, not knowing who your quarterback is going to be entering training camp, it does go back to the if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. That we've kind of found that out the past few years with the Broncos. They've had multiple quarterback battles over the past couple of years, and none of them have worked out long term. You want a guy to be your guy at the quarterback position, and that's why, Tanner, I advocate that the Broncos make this decision as quick as they know. Now, don't rush the process, but once you know that Teddy's really ahead of Drew and he's not going to look back, or Drew has really taken that next step and he needs to be the guy, name him the starter then. If it's 4 days into training camp, do it then. Don't wait till the end of the third preseason game. Now, if you have to wait because it really is 50-50 all throughout training camp, then you do that. But it doesn't just help the quarterback position. It helps your offensive line. It helps your wide receivers. It helps your coaches build a play, offensive system for them. That's what the Broncos need to do. They need to settle in on one guy as soon as they can. But from every indication I've heard, is this thing is going to go probably until the third preseason game.
Yeah, and that's a tough pill to swallow. But here's my thing. Look, if you're going to hang your hat on this Broncos defense, which for all intents and purposes, it looks like you can absolutely do that, then why not just make Teddy the guy? Because he's the safe bet here. He's been the guy that you know, maybe doesn't push the ball. He doesn't turn the ball over. Why not just roll with that and let your team rally around a guy and give Drew Lock, you know, a year to keep working on stuff?
Yeah, that would be purely a move for this year, because we kind of know who Teddy Bridgewater is as a player, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. He can steady the ship. He can lead a team to the playoffs with a really good defense and a good running game, which the Broncos should have both. But if you put Drew Lock on the bench this year, I think that means you're done with him, and that you would be looking in a different direction from a quarterback after this season. Specifically, you would be moving on from Drew after this year. If Drew doesn't play this year, then his future with the Broncos is over, since he would have been benched from being a starter last year. So I think that's something that Vic Fangio is going to want, though, is the steady guy. And that's why if Drew can prove that he is steady and not going to turn the ball over like he did last year, then they'll be open to him. But if he just proves in training camp and preseason that he is turnover prone, then they're going to go with Teddy because he's steady, and that's exactly what Vic needs for this year, as he shows that he should be the head coach next year.
Yeah. Hey, Zach, we're running up against it here in this first segment. Can we do this, man? Can we call you back here in just a couple of minutes, and we'll get you back on? Because we haven't even started talking about Aaron Rodgers yet, and I'm holding out a little bit of hope. I don't know how foolish that is, but I'm holding out a little bit of hope. Can we call you back here in just a couple minutes?
Let's do it.
All right. I love it, Zach. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. That's Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos. We'll talk with Zach here in just a minute. But I believe joining us now up, do we have Dalton? Okay. We're going to get back to it here in just a second. Dalton Reisner is going to join us in just a moment. He's going to jump on the program here and talk about his camp as Brady is live down there. And we'll get to that in just a second. But first, let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll talk with Dalton Reisner. It is the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 1310 KFK.
You're listening to the Hall Show powered by PDC Energy on 1310 KFK. Brady will be back after the break. Hear Mornings with Gale weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice 1310 KFK.
This is Kevin Lytle, your Colorado State Athletics beat reporter for the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show. I'm Tanner Schwint, filling in for Brady Hull, who's down in Wiggins, Colorado. I do have to say, you know, Wiggins, I love it down there. They've got a really cool little bar downtown, by the way, Hooligans, if you need to check that out. A little dive bar there that is fantastic. Joining us now, the pride of Wiggins, Colorado, the Denver Bronco, Dalton Reisner. Dalton, thanks so much for taking some time out of your camp, man. It sounds like your right hand must be a little tired from signing all those autographs.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate you guys having me on. Appreciate you giving Wiggins a little bit of a shout-out. And, yeah, once again, shout-out to Brady for being down here in Wiggins to do this. It just means so much, man. So I'm loving it down here, and this is what it's all about.
Yeah, how many times did you stop by Stubbs gas station while you were growing up down there?
Come on now, man. That was the spot, you know. As many times as I could for breakfast, there's some chicken tenders and some honey mustard and ranch. I mean, you name it.
Their pizza,
that was
man.
The spot.
Their pizza is phenomenal.
I mean, it's greasy, you know, the point where you feel like you have to take a shower, but it's worth it, right?
It absolutely is. So, Dalton, talk to me about this camp that you're hosting down there, man. I mean, this goes so far with kids from all over, not just Wiggins, but Eastern Colorado, Northern Colorado, all over the place, man. Talk to me about this camp.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, it's our first annual really big camp down here. Me and my father and our family have been doing football camps down here in Wiggins for a long time, but after I got drafted, you know, we took the first year as a rookie and not really do anything too big, and then COVID hit. So this was the first time we've been able for me really to do a camp in Wiggins, Colorado, partnered with my foundation and with our Wiggins football team, and open it up to everybody. I'm a big believer that you have a nonprofit foundation to give back to other people, and one of my biggest, you know, emphasis in my life is to make sure I use my platform for football to do good and do right by others and make an actual impact in life. And you know, that's why we had the camp down here. We opened it up to the whole state of Colorado. Shoot, we have people from Vail, people from Kansas. I think someone from Tampa Bay came down. I mean, we've had great numbers all day today. The autograph line, I just got through it. It was about 2 hours long. So it's been absolutely tremendous. It's been free. Every kid's been able to get a free T-shirt. Quest Nutrition sponsored it. So there's cookies and protein bars. Body Armor sponsored the drinks. GQ Barbecue there in Denver, down in Lone Tree, they sponsored the lunch. So it's been phenomenal, man. It's been a blessing for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm sure for you, I mean, it keeps you in touch with your roots, too, being back out there on the high school field and seeing probably a lot of familiar faces there in Wiggins.
Yeah, you know, when you get to this point in your career, you know, you have a couple choices as to what kind of career you want to make out of it. You know, I love being a football player and playing for the Denver Broncos, but I want to be remembered for the acts of service I did off the field and the way that I used my platform to really impact other people. So I mean, that's what it's all about, you know, being back here in my roots. It's my second camp I've really done this summer. The first one I partnered with a Precious Child up in Denver, but being down here today, like you said, man, it's being back here in Wiggins where the dream started for me as a kid. You know, this is a lot of blood, sweat and tears that I'm sitting on in my lawn chair in the shade right now. You know, it might not have been like this the whole time back there when I was a kid. There's a lot of work put on this field to get to where I'm at today. So being back here, being able to give back to this community and the people back, it means everything to me.
Talking with Denver Broncos offensive lineman Dalton Reisner. And, you know, Dalton, so I've heard you got about, is it three modules to live by? Is that right?
Yeah, man, three modules to live by. You know, I had the first through fifth graders here this morning, so I could have cared less if we taught them one thing about football. I wanted them to come and have a good time and smile and get a free T-shirt and get to chat with a Denver Bronco, get an autograph from the Denver Bronco, and that's what it was all about. You know, of course, you guys know me. I'm always going to have to give a little bit of advice. You know, I talked about kindness. I talked about work ethic, and I talked about getting good grades and taking care of your schoolwork. I feel like for the grade age group that I was doing this morning, I felt like those are three things that needed to be here.
Yeah, well, and it's awesome, man. I mean, that's what sets it up first, right? And then that work on the football field will follow that. You mentioned your dad a little bit earlier, Dalton. Brady was telling me down there, your dad is absolutely yoked. Is that right?
Yeah, he's a pretty big guy, man. You don't want to get into his head too much, but he's definitely looking good. He's been working his butt off.
Who wins a wrestling match there?
Let me check, see if he's around. He's not within the distance. I'd win that for sure.
Yeah, right. Hey, I think that's smart, man. I think that's smart. So the camp goes on this afternoon. What is a couple of things? I mean, obviously the life advice, you can really relate to these kids, right? Because you played on the same field that you're practicing on right now, that a lot of these same guys are going to be playing under those Friday night lights. What are a couple of things that you want these kids to take away from their, you know, chance to meet you and be at your camp today?
Man, I want them to remember that whenever you do good in life, you can always give back. You don't have to be like some of the guys nowadays that want all the glory to go to themselves. You can give the glory to someone else. You can give the glory up to God. You can be a good person. You can be in the spotlight, and you can still be a good person and give back to other people. I want to remind them what's really important. You know, at this point in their lives, as we all know, sometimes you think sports are everything. You think your little high school is everything. But as you continue to grow up, you realize that, man, the way I treat people, the impacts that I make, the kindness that I have, that's the stuff that really lasts. That's the stuff that matters and defines people. So I just want to make sure I reiterate that and show them the type of man I am, be a great role model for these kids, and be someone that, you know, they could look up to, because I would have killed to meet a Denver Bronco whenever I was their age.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. You know, I grew up in Kersey, Colorado, and I was saying earlier, look, we had one guy, right? We had one guy that made it to the NBA, and that was Jason Smith, and I still remember the exact camp when he came back, so what you're doing is awesome. Dalton, if you don't mind for a second, you know, we're on July 12th here. What is your workout plan looking like? What are you doing around? Are you at the Broncos facility now most days? What's your offseason looking like?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, I train at the Broncos facility year-round. Off-season, I stay here. I moved to Dallas for a little bit this year trying to mix it up. But these last few weeks, I've been at LP, Lauren Lando Performance. That's down there in Centennial, Inglewood area, kind of right by Dove Valley, honestly. That's where I've been, trying to get outside of the facility, trying to stay away. I'm about to go to camp, and we're about to be there every single day, all day. So trying to get a little break from that. But I'm working out every day, man, making sure I'm focusing on what I'm eating and getting ready for training camp, because, you know, that's when the war starts. So really excited for year three. Can't tell you how much I know I need to prove. Can't tell you how much I know the Broncos need to prove to Bronco country. This state's a pretty cool state when you're winning football games. But when you're not winning football games, a lot of people expect a lot. But, hey, we wouldn't want it any other way. We love how the fan base expects so much out of us. And I just think all the talk needs to stop. We need to go out there and be about it. Let's go out there and play football. Let's go win some football games. And that starts with myself looking myself in the mirror. You know, that's where it all starts. I think if all of us can do that on the team, we'll be just fine.
Well, it's pretty cool. What I've really enjoyed about this year, at least in the offseason, is there hasn't been really any talk about, well, the Broncos got to upgrade their offensive line, because that core group, man, talk to me about the relationships and what a big stride, especially on that left side with you and Garrett Bowles last year. That was phenomenal to watch.
Yes, sir. You know, when it comes to the offensive line, I think that we made a lot of strides. I think we have a lot of work to do this year. Continue working well with Lloyd Cushenberry and Garrett Bowles on both sides of me. Graham Glasgow is going into year two. Bobby Massey and Calvin Anderson and Cam Fleming are going to have a big battle at right tackle. We'll see who comes out on top of that. But at the end of the day, like I told you, I don't care how much talk there is or how much there is about who had a good season last year or who's supposed to do really good this year. Let's show up to training camp. Let's kick some tail. Let's put five guys together that are separate individuals and make them form a fist and be a heck of an offensive line. Let's go out there and be about it, man. So I love my fellow offensive linemen, love the guys on the team with me. I think that we could do some really special things.
Yeah, you can't get out of this interview without one quarterback question. I apologize, Dalton, but look, how difficult
all
is
right,
it?
All right, I'll see you guys later, okay?
Yeah, I see. Yeah, you got that wrestling match with your dad coming up. I see how it is. No, how difficult? I don't need you to come out here and say, you know, I'm all behind this guy, I'm all behind that guy. Just walk me through as an offensive line unit, or you know, you can only talk for yourself, but how difficult is it when you've got different guys splitting reps? You know, they're barking different signals, they carry themselves differently. How challenging is that for you, and how is the team responding to that?
Man, it's one of those things that you have different quarterbacks. You know you're going to have different quarterbacks. You get paid a lot of money to be a professional football player. You're going to have a quarterback that says the cadence different. One of the quarterbacks is going to roll out of his snap. The next guy is going to say the different play in the huddle just a different way. One of them might be more of a leader. One of them might be more cautious. I mean, it goes on and on. So part of our job as offensive linemen is to get used to those things that you mentioned. Every quarterback's going to be different. Teddy and Drew are very much different right now. But they both bring different things to the table, man. Like, I'm proud of both of them. I think they can both be great quarterbacks for us. And you guys have known I supported Drew all along. I think that he could be very successful for us if we could just give him some time. This league has been created in this league that you're expected to perform day one. A lot of these guys are very young, and they need some time to transform. And if we can give them the time to do that, I think we could be really successful. I was thrown in there immediately after I was drafted and expected to play at a high level. You know, sometimes you're expected to do things, and we all got to be up for that challenge. So I think that whoever's our quarterback this year is going to be great for us, man. I think that I'm going into the season expecting to have numerous quarterbacks this season because injury happens. COVID happened last year. I mean, you never know. It's always a great thing for an offensive lineman to be prepared to play with any guy. That's why training camp, OTAs, mini camp, it's so important to get used to those guys and what they do.
All right, Dalton, you got any way too early season predictions for us on how the Broncos are going to finish this year?
I just want to start out 3-0, man. I look at the first three games of the season, two on the road, one back at home. I think those three are all winnable football games. Like I mentioned earlier, that's a lot of talk. Let's quit with the talk. Let's go out there and just play some dang football. Let's win it one game at a time and one practice at a time. So to be honest with you right now, I'm worried about day one of camp, and then I'm going to focus on day two of camp. I'm sure I'll find myself in week one, and then I'm sure we'll be talking again. It'll be about week 17. And let's hope we're talking about playoff picture, my man.
Man, I love it so much. Hey, Dalton, real quick, before I let you go, tell people, anybody looking to check out your foundation, your charity, what you've set up, your nonprofit, what's the best way for them to check it out?
Check it out at the Riser Up Foundation on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We have it on all three. Go to riserup.org. You can check it out on our website online. Get to know us, what we're up to. Send us an email. But other than that, man, check it out on social media. You guys will be able to stay up to date with us and what we've been up to. And go from there, man. Thank you so much for all the support.
Yeah, Dalton, coming from a guy that played in a small town and coaches small town football, thank you for what you're doing for those kids out there today. And thanks for taking some time with us. I appreciate it, man.
Hey, God bless, man. That's what it's all about, right? It's about kindness, us being good to people, man. So God bless you guys. Go Broncos, as always.
All right. Thanks, Dalton. That is Dalton Reisner, Broncos offensive lineman. I love it. You're not going to find a more down-to-earth dude. I mean, you could just hear. I love that he had to check around. He had to make sure that his old man wasn't standing there anywhere close before he went off and said, yeah, he could take him. But that's just awesome what they're doing down there. Thanks to Bear Insurance for allowing this to happen. Brandon and Steve down there in Wiggins, they were the ones able to hook us up with all of this. So thanks to Bear Insurance for making this possible. I'll tell you what, we're going to get out early here. Zach Stevens is going to rejoin us. I apologize to Zach if he's listening. Zach Stevens is going to rejoin us. I wasn't done talking with Zach, so we're going to come back. But we had to get Dalton on there. That was the only time he could do it. So I tell you what, let's get a look at the local sports flash.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
.32 the time. Man, it's been a crazy, crazy day. That was great talking with Dalton Reisner there. Great dude, man. He gets it, right? And thanks again to Bear Insurance for helping us out, hooking that up. I want to get back now to DNVR Broncos insider Zach Stevens. Zach, I apologize about that, man. It's been a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants type of day here.
No, no worries at all. I know those days come often.
They really do. But so, Zach, where we left it off, we were talking about that quarterback battle, right? And you said, you know, if Drew Locke doesn't start and play this year, maybe not start, but if he doesn't play this year, the majority of it, the Broncos are done with that. So what does that mean? I mean, because it seems like there's a real possibility. Does that mean the Broncos are looking for a quarterback in the next draft?
Yeah, they very well could be. And, you know, unless Teddy brings them to the playoffs and Vic stays around and they want to go with that one more time, then they will. But I really see Teddy kind of just being a year-by-year guy, not the answer, just from what we've seen from him so far, unless somehow he comes out and shows that he's the Teddy Bridgewater that threw nine touchdowns in five games with the Saints, went 5-0 with the Saints. But for the most part, we've seen Teddy be a very, league average quarterback, and that is not bad for the team this year. But is that a guy that you want to sign up to a 4-year, $100 million contract after this year? I would advise against that personally. I'm okay with paying elite money to elite players, but where I think you get really stuck and put in bad positions is when you pay elite money to good players or you pay great money to average players. So I would advise against that. And I would look at what the Buffalo Bills did when they had Tyrod Taylor take them to the playoffs a couple of years ago. They said, thank you, Tyrod, for getting us to this next step. We're going to go use a first-round pick on Josh Allen. I think that's probably the route the Broncos should take if, in fact, it is Teddy this year and they do well. Now, obviously, if it's Teddy this year and they don't do well, then absolutely you have to think that they're finally, again, in the first-round quarterback conversation.
Well, and I can't help but think, and I get there's so many variables, and we could sit here and play the what-if game till our faces turn blue, but you start thinking, you look back at the pick that they made in the first round this year, Justin Fields was sitting right there. And if you say, okay, Teddy gets 1 year and maybe they get back to that spot, wouldn't it have been great to have Justin Fields sitting there in the waiting?
It certainly would have, especially since you didn't have to give up anything extra to go get him. The Chicago Bears, they gave up an extra first-round pick in order to move up to get Justin Fields. The Broncos wouldn't have had to do that sitting there. And the fact is, you're not going to be able to talk about the Broncos' quarterback position. You're not going to be able to talk about Patrick Surtain's career. If Justin Fields succeeds in Chicago, you're not going to be able to talk about any of these guys being a success. If Justin Fields succeeds, just because of what the positional value means at quarterback as opposed to cornerback. So in a way, where the Broncos got the safest player in their eyes in the draft in Patrick Surtain, it was actually a pretty risky pick by passing on a quarterback who, Tanner, from what everything I was told leading up to the draft and after the draft, they really did like Justin Fields. So it's really risky to pass on a quarterback you really like, especially when you don't have your quarterback already necessarily.
Does it kind of make you think back to the Bradley Chubb pick with Josh Allen sitting right there?
Absolutely. It has to. And look, the Broncos had Case Keenum on a two-year deal, then really a one-year deal. As we saw, it very much played out as a one-year deal. It doesn't mean that a guy that you draft that year has to start and play, but you got to have a plan at place at quarterback. And at that time, the Broncos were hopeful that Case Keenum was going to end up being the guy, but they didn't know. You know, with Patrick Mahomes, you know. With what the Broncos quarterback situation is right now, you don't know. You absolutely don't know. Until you get a quarterback, it really doesn't matter. You can have a great defense. The Broncos have had many great defenses the past couple of years, and it doesn't mean anything because they haven't had the quarterback position.
Yeah, and that's still obviously the biggest question mark. Let's talk about A-Rod. He's out there doing the match. He's golfing, and you know, Tom Brady's cracking jokes saying I'm scouting the leader of the Green Bay Packers, I think, right? where does that situation stand? This has been one of the weirdest quarterback controversies that hasn't been even a controversy yet.
Yeah, you're exactly right. This is very much in a waiting process, and Aaron made that very clear over the weekend. He said, I'm just enjoying this week, and then I'm going to get back into it, working out, and then we'll decide on that in a couple of weeks from now. This is something that is not going to happen this week. It's not something that's going to happen next week. It's not even something that's going to happen by the time training camp rolls around. The first big date is if Aaron Rodgers shows up. If Aaron Rodgers shows up, it's probably with a new contract, and that means that he's going to be a Green Bay Packer at least for this year. If he shows up, it probably means that he's a Green Bay Packer this year, but if he doesn't show up, then that's where the controversy starts, Tanner. And how long does it take for the Green Bay Packers to either tell him, look, buddy, we're not trading you. You can come here or you can retire and pay us $29 million. Or they could say, all right, fine, we get it. You're really not going to show up. We'll trade you. This is something that's going to go well into training camp, if not the preseason or the regular season, if he's not there the first day of camp.
So I was going to ask, with every passing day, does that help or hurt the Broncos' chances of getting Aaron Rodgers? But it sounds like to you it doesn't do anything until the training camp.
Yeah, every day that he's not reporting to Green Bay and not in the Packers building, that is good news. Now, obviously, these next 2 weeks, it doesn't really matter if he's there or not because no players are in the facility right now unless they're rehabbing. So right now, it really doesn't matter, and I don't expect any news to come out. I don't expect Aaron Rodgers to come out and say, I demand a trade before training camp. I really expect his actions to be much louder than his words in this.
We're talking with Zach Stevens, our Broncos insider with DNVR. And that's where, I mean, all eyes are going to be fixated on that right now with every little move here or there. People are watching this. What does your gut tell you? Does your gut tell you that at the opening day, who is taking that first snap from under center for the Denver Broncos?
Man, right now it's 50-50, and I'll lean toward Aaron Rodgers being that guy for the Broncos. And the reason is, Aaron Rodgers seems very content with where he's at right now. And with where he's at right now, it is that he is not want to be a Green Bay Packer. And it would just not make any sense for the Green Bay Packers to force him to retire instead of get a massive haul in return for him. And so I believe that they will end up trading him before the season. And I believe that the Broncos are very much the front runners to land him if he is available. I think if he's available, the odds of the Broncos getting him go way up. There's just the question is Green Bay going to come to terms with trading him? And if so, I think the Broncos are absolutely the number one team.
Wow, I think you just made a lot of Broncos fans happy. So for your money right now, out of the three quarterbacks, Bridgewater, Locke, and Rodgers, you're putting your money on Rodgers being the starting quarterback for the Broncos on day one?
Man, 50.5% toward that. Yeah, and then you know what? I give the nod to Teddy over Drew right now.
Okay, all right. So maybe this is one we stay away from. We don't lay any money on this bet for right now. Is that what I'm getting at?
Exactly. Yeah, let's talk first day of camp, and then we'll know.
So we're right in this little period right before training camp where, you know, we're getting geared up. I think people are excited for football to be back. What are some things that you're watching coming out of Broncos camp, coming out of the Broncos organization, I should say, that kind of have your attention right now?
Oh, well, just these position battles entering training camp, and that's really where the eyes are going to be. Of course, quarterback, what's going on there, that's obviously the number one story. But then these other battles, cornerback is probably the next biggest battle that I'm curious in, because you have Patrick Surtain, the ninth overall pick, the guy they drafted over Justin Fields in this draft. He's not going to be the fourth cornerback this year. He's going to be a major player in this defense. But who does he replace? Every other guy on the team is pretty much a $10 million cornerback. He's not going to replace Bryce Callahan in the slot if Bryce Callahan's healthy. Is he replacing Ronald Darby, who is the guy that has the biggest contract of all the cornerbacks, or is he replacing Vic Fangio's darling and Kyle Fuller? It's going to be very interesting to see how that goes. And then back on the offensive side of the ball, you got Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. What a battle that is. Now, that's something where both guys can play and both guys will play. But just how good does Javonte look as a rookie? Will he be able to overtake Melvin before the start of the season? Does that happen during the season? Or does Melvin really prove that he's a Pro Bowl running back and hold off the rookie all year?
Well, and it probably honestly wouldn't hurt Melvin anyways if they did just take 50-50 reps. You know, with this league, we know how quickly people get beat up, especially at that running back position. So wouldn't that be kind of a win-win if they go around that 50-50 slot?
Yeah, and that's one thing that Javonte Williams said after the Broncos drafted him. We asked him, are you going to be okay with sharing the workload? And he said, I've been sharing the workload my entire time at UNC, and that has helped me so much. I was really impressed with his answer. Just very mature for a rookie right now. But you're 100% right. This is going to be a split backfield, but that's probably best for both guys. If both guys are still getting 10-plus touches a game, keeps them fresh, and helps rise their average from, you know, potentially a 4 yards per carry closer to 5 yards per carry. You look at Melvin Gordon last year, at the end of the season, the last 7 games, he was averaging over 5 yards per carry. Last year in college, Javonte was averaging over 7 yards per carry. Obviously, the NFL is going to be a lot more difficult. But if those guys are both right around 5 yards per carry, then neither of them is going to be, you know, going for significantly over 1,000 yards. But both of them can combine for one of the best backfields in the NFL, which is going to really help whatever quarterback is the starter.
I was going to say, they get that type of production, that could be you handing the ball off back there, and it might be all right.
Exactly, and especially if these weapons, the other weapons, if receiver, turn out to be who we think they are, all the quarterback's going to have to do is get them the ball, and those guys will make plays.
Yeah, and that was the next question that I was going to pose to you, right? The Broncos' offensive line, look, they're not the topic of conversation anymore, and that's a great thing, because we used to say, you know, that was the big thing going in there. Well, it doesn't matter who's at quarterback, he can't get any time. With the progression of Garrett Bowles, look, we just got done talking with Dalton Reisner, Lloyd Cushenberry, all these guys, they're starting to take those steps, and as a unit, looked much improved last year. Where do you think, where's the most need on that offensive line? Who needs to take another step this year where we won't even have to talk about the big guys?
Well, the guys that we've been talking about year after year after year is at right tackle, and that is still a concern for the Broncos, because right now they have 4 guys competing for the spot. I mean, we talked about earlier, Tanner, if you have 2 guys competing, right, it probably means you don't have one. What's it mean if you have 4 guys competing for the spot? It means you're in trouble. And the Broncos did go out and spend about $8 million signing a couple of guys, Bobby Massey and Cameron Fleming. But Cameron Fleming last year, his best ability was availability. He was there, it kind of stopped there. He had a rough season when he was playing. And Bobby Massey, he's good when he plays, but the past 2 seasons, he's only played about 50% of the time. So Bobby Massey projects to be the starter, but if he's not there, you have some major question marks. I mean, Calvin Anderson may take that next step, but you're going to have to see him take a next step. He's never been counted on as being the full-time starter. So that is still just a huge question for the Broncos at right tackle. Everything else, you pretty much know. You're going to have Quinn Meinertz pushing Lloyd Cushenberry for that center spot, but I expect Lloyd to continue to keep that job, at least at the beginning of this year. And then everything else is set. You got Dalton at left guard, Garrett Bowles at left tackle, and, of course, Graham Glasgow at right guard. But right tackle just remains a huge question for the Broncos.
Zach Stevens with DNVR joining us. Zach, I saw this question and I want to pose it to you. What is what's more important in today's NFL? An elite offensive line group, not just an elite offensive lineman, but the entire offensive line, or an elite wide receiver core? Which would you take?
I would take the elite offensive line because you're talking about a group, if they're elite, they make the running backs better, they make the quarterback better, they make the wide receivers better. Whereas an elite wide receiving group does help your team. It really helps your quarterback, but they don't help that much in the run game. Now, you can have elite blockers, but that doesn't help that much. You take the offensive line, and most importantly, because I think that helps the quarterback more than elite receivers. And like we said, it all comes back to the quarterback. You do whatever you need to do to improve the quarterback position. I think an elite offensive line helps more.
Would you classify the Broncos receivers as an elite core, or would you more say they've got the possibility to be an elite receiving core?
They really should be, but they're not there yet. Just with Jerry Jeudy, we need to see him take that next step, which I completely believe he's going to take this year. He's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver. There's questions with Courtland Sutton coming off the injury. I think he's going to be okay, but we need to see it. And then also, KJ Hamler may be the guy that takes this group from borderline elite to very elite if he's able to stay healthy and be that huge play threat out there for them.
I love it. Zach Stevens, DNVR. Zach, what are you working on? What do you got your eyes on this week?
I'm looking at some projections for guys. I'm diving into some cornerbacks this week, seeing what Patrick Surtain should do, what Ronald Darby should do, and I'll have those up on bdnvr.com.
I love it, man. Did you see, real quick before I let you go, did you see Von Miller's bunt in the softball game that he took place in yesterday?
Yes, I did. Oh, man, I guess you do whatever you need to get on base, right?
I don't think that's supposed to happen. I don't think you're supposed to bunt in slow-pitch softball, but
I don't think so.
Nonetheless, excited to have Von back a part of Denver Broncos and Denver sports. So, Zach, appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much for sticking with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Tanner.
Yep, that is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos. Appreciate his time, as always, for joining us. And, we stepped aside and came back with him, but a lot of great stuff. The most intriguing part of this, and I think that I saw Colfax back there light up when he said that he would put his early on money for Aaron Rodgers to be taking the first snap in the regular season for the Denver Broncos. Colfax, you lit up back there, man.
Well, I thought he was going to say, I'm 50% on Lock or Bridgewater.
Yeah.
And he did not go there at all.
No,
he went to Rodgers.
50.5% chance. 50.5% chance it's Aaron Rodgers. And that, I mean, look, that for me is enough to, until Aaron Rodgers is wearing a Green Bay uniform or he is back in his suit on Jeopardy, there's a chance.
Yeah.
And I'm all for it because that's the move that you got to make. I hope they get it done. But I think if Aaron Rodgers starts, do the Broncos make the playoffs if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback?
They go undefeated.
Undefeated. Yeah. Nobody's within 10, right?
Right.
All season long.
No.
They're blowing everybody out.
Everybody out.
All the way Super Bowl.
Yep. First time ever, right?
You're sounding like Micah back there, but I like it. 1:48 the time. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side, wrap up the whole show. I'm Brady Hull. I'm not Brady Hull. I'm filling in for Brady Hull. I'm Tanner Schmidt. We'll be back on the other side. It's the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
You're listening to The Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy on 1310 KFK. Brady will be back after the break. The Power Trip, weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFK.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Wrapping up The Hull Show on a Monday, I am Tanner Schwint. Colfax back behind that glass. You gotta love technical difficulties. Man, technology is great when it works. But when it doesn't, I'll tell you what. So Brady Hall and our intern Angel Padilla are headed back from Wiggins. But it was great. They were down there and snapped a couple of pictures of that camp that they had going on, and able to talk with Dalton Reisner and get that out there. That was a great interview. So all of that, this show will be on demand on 1310kfk.com. As soon as we sign off, you'll be able to go back and check all of that out, as well as our interview with Zach Stevens, who said right now he's putting his money on Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback. But this is, I mean, look, I kind of feel like we're kind of like the ugly kid right now at the school dance. And, you know, we're just shooting our shot. There's a drop-dead 10 out there. And we're a solid 6. But we got some things. Maybe we're a little too short, a little too chunky. But we're going to go up and we're going to shoot our shot. And she's like, not saying no, but she's not saying yes either. So just giving us just enough hope to keep us trailing along, dragging along. Maybe we could get that dance. And that's all that we need. We need the hope that we could possibly get that dance with Aaron Rodgers at some point, because I think that the Denver Broncos become an immediate threat. Immediate threat, not just in the AFC West, because really that's who you've got to get through. I don't think Tampa Bay will be able to run it back quite like they did last year. But then again, I didn't think they were going to be able to go. Tom was going to be able to put it all together last year like that. But I don't think Tampa Bay will have the same amount of success. And really, I think Buffalo, I don't know. They've got a couple of pieces that we'll see if they filled. But really, other than Kansas City and Buffalo, is Cleveland going to continue to take another step? Is Lamar Jackson, Baltimore, are they going to be able to figure it out? Not while you've got a running back playing quarterback with Lamar Jackson. You know, Tennessee, Indianapolis, those are some names. You know, especially after Julio and A.J. Brown now in Tennessee. Those are just a couple of teams to keep your eyes on. But you throw Aaron Rodgers in Denver, and if that defense performs like it should on paper, I think that this team becomes an immediate threat to win it. Not just the division, to win the Super Bowl. I know it's crazy, but Aaron Rodgers, from where he's at compared to Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, I mean, that difference alone with the other pieces they've got on that team is enough to push you there. It's enough to push you there. But you got to go get Aaron Rodgers first. That'll about do it for us. Coming up, it'll be The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 5 o'clock pick central. A quick programming note, starting on Thursday. On Thursday, we'll have some high school baseball for you. It's a summer ball action coming your way. Clark Johnson will be on the call for that one as well. The best way to stay in tune with everything that we're doing, adding more great local programming here to KFKA, is go to 1310kfk.com. You'll be able to check out our complete lineup and all of our shows on demand. For Colfax, who helped keep this thing rolling, I'm Tanner Schwitt. Brady Hull will be back on a Top Text Tuesday. Who's winning the Floyd Little jersey? That'll be tomorrow. That'll do it for us here on The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFK, as Brady would say. Good night, Northern Colorado.